Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another cracking episode.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, what? Mera introduction kaun karega?
Huh?
Celebrities, na?
No, with...
First, you have to point out ki kya hua hai mere saath.
Oh my God, do we have Sukhbir with us? Welcome to the show, Sukhbir.
Bakwas. Sukhbir, maine baal kaat diya to Sukhbir bana diya.
Well, welcome to
Wait,
Fight Mania.
Wait, I have to take
Mania.
My glasses off, then we can welcome people to
oh,
Fight
man,
Mania.
we've got Arjun Chipalkati, aka Sukhbir, with us on yet another cracking episode of Fight Mania. Your host and though Somesh, the superhuman Kamra, and Arjun, aka Mystic Chips.
Yes, sir. And Mystic Chips, the Mystic Ball, has been working overtime. But I have been right again. My predictions have been almost 90% on point. We have a lot to talk about. The upsets in the sport, the craziness, the biggest gambles that didn't pay off, and a lot more coming up right after a quick commercial break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And that opening gets longer and longer every time we do it, na?
See, there's boat, there's Capgemini. There's Intel. There's something that's happening that this podcast is going places.
Correct. So clearly the IBM and all the sponsors are showing a lot of love towards us.
Absolutely.
So khushi khushi se aur lamba hone do. As a lot of people would say. Along with the director who made Heeropanti, because they lasted for at least 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which I started watching. I have never seen more splits in a movie. Huh?
Me too.
It was like watching, I don't want to say ballerina, but chalo. Marpit ho jayega, baad mein sponsors aake chillayenge. But coming back to the central focus of our show, we are the Fight Boys, we are Fight Mania, formerly known as the Fighting Goat. And so guys, tune in, always check out our content on ivmpodcast.com. We have our own YouTube channel. So please tune into that and like and subscribe, no matter what we do.
Absolutely. Chips, 2022 has been the year of shockers, upsets, comebacks, and whatnot.
Huh.
When the world was going towards a massive COVID depreciation, 2022 inducted that fresh lease of life, including the sporting world. And I just want you to kind of run our listeners through all what has happened in 2022. Who has come back? Who has taken a hit? Who has given hits?
Man, you know, the thing is that I keep saying this, Somesh, you know, a lot of people don't understand this. As compared to a lot of other sports in the world, you talk about cricket, you talk about football, you talk about NFL, you talk about NHL. There is nothing more riveting like mixed martial arts.
Absolutely.
It's undisputed because I have never seen a sport that is so gripping. There's, you know, boxing is one thing. Boxing is great. We've had some great fights in boxing. We've seen the Gypsy King take over the world. You know, we've seen Tyson Fury become the undisputed champion, beating Deontay Wilder for the third time.
Yes.
We saw a great fight between Alexander Usyk and Anthony Joshua last weekend to determine who the champions are. But none of that compares to the thrill and glory of mixed martial arts.
Absolutely.
And especially, I've said this over and over again. I remember, my friends and grandparents and everybody who watched boxing in the 50s till the 80s, they used to say there was nothing like a heavyweight title fight.
Absolutely.
In boxing.
Yes.
But now there's nothing bigger than a UFC title fight.
Absolutely. And this can actually vary across the featherweight division, the light heavyweight, heavyweight.
Exactly.
They are all dynamic across males and females.
Exactly. I mean, you saw the rise and fall of Davison Figueiredo. Figueiredo take look on Brandon Moreno in that flyweight division.
Flyweight division, yes.
Correct. The back and forth with them. Aldo making his progress in the division with, Aljamain Sterling upsetting Peter Yan for the second time to I'm not even getting to what happened recently talk about that in our entire segment, talking about the most shocking upsets. Upsets are a part of any sports, but there never have been upsets like they are in MMA.
Absolutely, yes. So if we see sports like football, if we see cricket, if we see even high octane sports like F1.
Correct.
If there's somebody who's leading the pack, 99% he's going to win the race.
Correct. And the impact of the sport is not that large. See, today you watch, my producer Snail, who's sitting in front of me wearing a football t-shirt. I don't even know which team. It looks like Wigan Athletic or something.
I think it's some Ukrainian team. It looks like a Ukrainian color.
Ukraine, ha, hoga, shayad se,
Portugal.
Portugal colors.
Acha, Portugal.
You have Goan or what? You have passport. Don't lie, Snail. What year you were born? What the out of here.
What's the poster, right? Get the f*** out of
get
here.
Seriously, aise pakdo, pahde, maro, 97 born and all. Somebody I met recently was saying I was born in 2004. I'm like, and this was on Tinder. Exactly. I'm like, sharam to karo, yaar.
My
God. There has to be an age bar somewhere here, But coming back to what we were saying, so the excitement of, learning is You have seen the Tinder of the sporting world. Because the excitement that you get. See, it's like when, you know, when
swipe left and swipe right.
Correct. Yeah. It's the same thing. Just what Manchester United does for its goals given away and taken. No. You know, the football shutdown, guys, is a straight shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
I'm on to you. Coming to your show soon. But no, my point is that, you know, the thrill that you get when, okay, somebody wins a race or when somebody wins championship match.
Yeah.
It does not compare with the glory or the victory of a heavyweight title.
Absolutely, yes.
Doesn't compare with when John Jones took away Shogun Hua's belt.
Yes.
It doesn't take away for when Conor McGregor knocked out Jose Aldo.
Oh, yes.
I mean, people went batshit crazy.
And also things can flip-flop and change in a matter of seconds.
Correct. There have been so many sudden upsets.
Yeah.
Remember, okay, you know, we have a whole list of, you know, these things starting out. I remember back in the day when Pride merged with the UFC.
Yeah, the UFC bought Pride. Yeah.
Correct. Sorry. The UFC bought over Pride. Pride
2007,
fighting,
yeah.
2007 was, kya?
It was 2007.
So I remember Pride Fighting Organizations was a Japanese-based promotion.
Yes.
Which had some of the most iconic, incredible, brutal fighters that ever came over.
Because they had no rules.
The rules are, there are no rules.
Yeah, the rules.
The more brutal, the better.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know, and in Pride, I remember that if there was like 3 seconds of no action or maybe 2 seconds, there was that small Chinese guy who would say, fight!
Correct.
Yeah.
Or fight! Dude. Dude, the yellow card and red card system also.
Yes.
Yellow card, tera kidney girvi kar diya.
Yes.
Red card, tera ghar le liya.
Yes.
Shit like that used to come. Not like football, red card. No. Like, oh my God, mera knee dukh raha hai, red card. All that bakwas never happened. Yeah. This is real fighting and all that. I don't know what's gotten into me today.
And this is legit stuff where they made their own rules.
Correct.
And I love that aspect.
So, here's the thing. So, when Pride was bought over, there was a fight in the heavyweight division between one of the most scariest individuals to ever exist. His name was Mirko Krokop Filipovic.
Oh my God.
This guy, they called him Krokop, which stands for Croatian cop. This guy was an anti-terrorist commando who literally killed people with his own hands.
Yes.
Like, you know, when you see the stare down between Wanderlei Silva and Mirko Krokop, Wanderlei Silva called himself the axe murderer. He was one of the most incredible guys. But you look at Krokop's eyes, the difference between Krokop and anybody else is that I just killed a man and I came to work.
Correct.
That's the difference. He took on a Brazilian bomber called Gabriel Gonzaga.
Yes.
And Snail, can we pull up the picture or the video of that? And Krokop was called Right Kick Hospital, Left Kick Cemetery. Okay. Now, this is him against Tito Ortiz, and that's not Gabriel Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And you could see the kind of... It's not even Tito Ortiz. It looks like Tito Ortiz, with the blonde head.
Yeah, I think it's Tito Ortiz.
It looks like Tito, but when did Tito fight Gabriel Gonzaga? Photoshop, eh? I don't think we've got the right image here, but it's Gabriel Gonzaga took on Mirko Filipovic.
Yes.
And he basically Krokopped Krokop.
Basically, what happened is that Krokop is known for his left high kick to the head.
Correct. And, as we saw in the photograph. Huh?
And Gabriel Gonzaga right kicked him on his head so viciously that he fell back on his knee and his ankle was twisted, turned over.
Correct. And that entire visual, I wish we could see it. Our producer is working on it right now.
Yeah.
And I hope we can see it right now because that was something to see. It was one of the most brutal, the word brutal doesn't do justice to it.
Well, it's one of the most unexpected incidents world of MMA where Gabriel Gonzaga high kicked a high kick specialist.
Exactly. I mean, to high kick a high kicker is like, I don't know, is like some Tapori taking on John Wick and winning.
Yes.
Like somebody shooting John Wick.
You know?
It's like everybody's laughing at me for some reason. Or it's like, you know, it's like Manchester United winning a championship.
Yes.
It's very rare now.
Yes, which is never happening, but still.
The football guys is coming after us now. Bas, let them come. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting to see the war. Especially, my topic of choice will be Messi later. Look at Snail's face.
Oh, like the footballer Messi or the...
Messi. Achha. There's only one Messi, na? Wo chhota sa butka jo tez bhagta hai, thoda goal maarta hai.
Football is an excellent sport. You know, we don't.
It's an incredible sport, man. I love football. I grew up with football. But you know, why are we throwing disclaimers? Snail, are we going to be able to see that picture? We're going to get it anytime now because you have to see how severe that knockout was.
Oh man, it was so crazy. And I think for the first time, it started that extreme knockout segment in the UFC.
Correct.
You know, where these vicious Brazilians were KOing people into a different planet altogether.
Correct. I mean, it's, you know, that entire, you know, you see whatever you see in the world of fighting. We see ground games, we see great submissions.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you see Frank Mir versus Nogueira, which was an incredible submission.
Yeah.
Where he snaps his arm, et cetera, et cetera, and does all that, you know. And then you see some brutal knockouts from Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
Where he's knocked, you know, Alistair Overeem out and, you know, whatnot.
Right.
But you've never seen, there is nothing more satisfying than a head kick.
Yes. And this brutal because it was clean. And the last person that you want to give a head kick to is the head kick specialist because he technically should know as to how to defend it.
Correct.
But it was an anticlimax where it ended in a brutal but yet a beautiful fashion.
Sadly, I don't think we're going to be able to see the photo or the video. It's not happening because of technical issues. But moving forward, it's, you know, it's not just the world of MMA that has seen, you know, a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
In, I think I remember correctly, you know, remember once upon a time when Mike Tyson got out of jail in the 80s, he had become this juggernaut of a person. Like he would knock you out for, you know, looking at him or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're wearing a different shirt, he would just knock you out.
Yeah.
And he took on an underdog called Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
And we have a picture or a video of that thing. I remember Buster Douglas getting chewed up by Mike Tyson.
Right.
And Tyson and Buster Douglas comes back and knocks out Tyson. Like, I was in shock.
I think it was his last fight?
No. His last fight came a lot later. Okay. Because I think he fought Evander Holyfield. He fought everybody as well.
Yes.
So, I remember. But what stayed in my head was Buster Douglas.
Got it. I think one of the biggest underdogs in the world of boxing.
Yeah.
That and knocked out Mike Tyson in his prime.
Yeah, correct. Because Mike Tyson was, you know, had that aura about him.
Right, right.
Like, he was, Mike Tyson in his prime was somebody who I would pit against anybody in the world.
Right.
Because
and,
he was
and
built,
he would win.
Yeah, and he would win because he was built like a tank.
Right.
Tyson in his prime was so fierce, so perfectly constructed as this killing machine.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just, you know, from his look to his eyes to the way he moved, his precision, his timing was just so ferocious. And for someone to be able to do that to Tyson was unreal.
Was unreal. In fact, most people didn't even think about it. You know, there was this one altercation between Bob Sapp and Mike Tyson. It was in K1. When Mike Tyson,
I remember.
I think he was a guest or a chief guest or something on those lines.
That was the shot. You know, that was that left hook.
God.
And it knocked down the champ.
Yeah, he was out cold.
You can see his mouthpiece coming out.
You know, Buster Douglas held the belt for precisely one fight.
I don't remember the stats now. Yeah. You're the statistician, man.
But he held the belt.
You can look it up always.
You know, but
or, you know, you guys who are watching in the comments can always send us if we are right or wrong. We never claim to be absolutely dead spot on about the stats.
Right.
So please feel free to correct us. But I remember that fight. And I remember that was an iconic turning point.
Yes.
You know, because it was the point where people realized that he's just a man.
And he can be beaten. Exactly.
And he can be beaten.
Exactly what happened.
He's just a man. We're not going to the shocker of the century just yet. But we are moving on to back to MMA. Was, if I remember correctly, one of the greatest upsets till recently. And also in the middle, beech mein, was in the welterweight division again.
Yeah.
When scrappy underdog called Matt Serra from the Serra Longo camp.
Yeah.
You know, he came in. He was not a very big, you know, he was just a short guy.
Right.
Who had great jiu-jitsu.
Right.
And knockout power.
Yeah.
Comes and dethrones one of the greatest prospects of the sport.
George St. Pierre.
George St. Pierre.
You know, in fact, I have noticed so many times that when there's a huge disparity between the odds, the champ or the favorable fighter comes in very casually. And it's happening so often nowadays. It's happening so often that the gentleman who's the underdog comes in with his confidence. And, you know, the guy who obviously has like the odds with him is so confident and then he gets knocked out.
No, I've always said this, that the contender has nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see that show. I remember how GSP was scrambling. It was that right hand which got George behind the ear. Got him clean behind the ear. And George, who has a great chin, mind you, was stumbling across the cage. He was bumbling. And Serra just landed all his punches that day.
Yes.
He actually, when you watch the replay, Google this fight, guys. It's Serra versus GSP 1.
Yeah. Matt Serra,
Matt Serra. Sorry, I have a habit of laziness. Na, kya kare? So, Matt Serra versus GSP 1. If you Google it, GSP tapped to strikes.
Yes.
He didn't get knocked out. He tapped to strikes.
And he said, I'm done.
I'm done. He didn't expect the power of Matt Serra. And that was one of the shockers in that time.
Well, also what happens, you know, when somebody has a very good chin, but they get knocked in the ear, they technically get disbalanced.
Correct. The equilibrium.
Equilibrium goes for a toss, you know, and then you kind of, you know, you're like swaying a little bit. You kind of, you know, you don't have your legs in place.
Correct.
And all of that.
It's like being in an earthquake, basically.
Yeah. You know, so that's exactly what happened to GSP. And I think that that also happened to Daniel Cormier when he was facing John Jones. He, you know, he got knocked. He was kind of wobbly. And John Jones, being the smart guy that he is, didn't attack him. He tripped him. So he kind of swirled him even more.
See, that's the intelligence of John Jones.
Absolutely.
You know, even Daniel Cormier has come back in an interview and said the same thing. He's like, when I got cracked, I got cracked.
Yeah.
A lot of fighters would have come at me with combinations.
Yeah.
But when he started moving backwards because he knew he was looking for the cage to hold on to, John was so tricky that he swept him from the back, made him spin, turn, lose his balance.
Correct.
Then threw a jumping knee at him, and that ground and pound was
vicious.
I don't care who you are. You are not taking those elbows.
And imagine the same gentleman at heavyweight.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine
just imagine the Hiropanti out here.
Are we getting paid by them by any chance? Because I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this till I get the money.
No, but we can split the money.
We can split the money, correct. All the puns start now, Mr. Kamara. No, but you know, the GSP Serra incident was, you know, one of the shocking knockouts.
Yes.
But what came forward is when, makes my heart very, very heavy. When I saw Anderson Silva take on Chris Weidman for the second time.
Yeah.
The knockout was, you know, a lot of people said, he was showboating, he made a mistake, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Second time, there were no errors. There were no mistakes.
Yeah.
Silva came out, but when he snapped his leg into two pieces,
it was just meant to be. Like, he was not beating Chris Weidman under any circumstances. You know, it's so funny because there are just these moments where...
Do we have the picture of the leg break? If we can get it for people to cringe on screen.
Yeah.
Because it was very hard for people to watch that.
It was so brutal. And there's something about certain matchups where fighter A just cannot beat fighter B. It's not happening.
You meet your match, you know. Yeah. Sometimes you just, you have your Achilles heel, but you can't do anything to beat this person.
Absolutely. You know, on paper, it may not seem like the best matchup, but it just doesn't work out that
way. I mean, you see the way Silva is holding his leg. That's not the way a shin is supposed to move.
Yeah.
He's holding it in place and he's screaming his heart out because he's like, crap, I can't even say it on camera because it's horrendous. I mean, remember, Sumesh, when we sparred together, we went shin on shin a couple of times.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And it was horrible. It hurts like hell.
It hurts.
It's horrible to hit shin on shin. And a shin were bleeding and this, that. Now imagine your tibia and your fibula, which are your two main bones that run down from your knee to your foot.
Yeah.
And that snaps in the middle. Like, I mean, like a Kit Kat going fadak.
Ayyo.
And that's what happened to the spider. And it was a shocking moment.
You know, you just saying it kind of...
It's cringy.
Yeah,
no?
It's like a little bit of a chill in my spine.
Can you imagine how, with such difficulty, I'm saying it?
Oh, God.
I'm holding back the tears and all, but I can't. Because abhi aaj hi Botox ka rakhe hai thoda
sa. I'll treat you to Sunraj for this.
Sunraj is a special place. Special.
Yeah.
But anyway, coming back to, you know, that was a devastating upset.
But, you know,
in sporting history.
What I realized that as the years are going by, there have been so many upsets, like from the year 2000 till now. It's just becoming more and more and more and more. So many upsets, back to back, every single year, different weight categories. I mean, I just don't know. Are the fighters becoming better? Are the matchups becoming better?
I think it's everything. It's a combination of everything coming together.
Yeah.
It's Weidman, it's a Silva Weidman curse now.
Yeah.
Because Silva Weidman broke Silva's shin technically.
Yes.
After that, Weidman took on Uriah Hall, who broke his shin.
Yeah.
And then after that, Uriah Hall retired.
Correct.
Because of the guilt.
Correct.
Of that. I don't know whether it's the guilt or his time was over or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think even doing that to another fighter can also give you nightmares.
Right.
And it's, you see how that trail goes, you know?
It's lethal.
It's the same thing. If you look at, say, even in Kumaru Usman's situation right now.
Yeah.
Jorge Masvidal knocked out Ben Askren.
Yeah.
Kumaru Usman knocked out
Jorge
Masvidal.
Yeah.
And now Leon Edwards knocked out Kumaru Usman.
Cold.
Cold. And all cold.
All cold.
All cold.
2019, 2021, 2022. Three correct. Absolute cold turkeys
correct.
In the middle of the octagon.
Correct.
And memes followed
and they
by
are the ridiculous memes that followed after that. But it's just the kind of, it's the nature of the sport, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, but, and speaking of the nature of the sport, remember our last episode, we talked about, you know, the significance of popularity
yeah.
in the sport.
Right.
Specifically targeting Conor McGregor.
Right.
One of the most, you know, one of the biggest superstars in the world.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, there was the fight. Remember the fight with Conor versus Nate Diaz won?
Oh my God.
Where he, it was taken on a 10 days notice, I think. 10 days notice.
Well, that was so back and forth because Conor McGregor had to fight in the featherweight division, which is 145 pounds.
He was fighting at featherweight only, no, first. He took on Nate in welterweight or at lightweight?
Welterweight.
Oh yeah, he moved up.
So basically the fight was at featherweight, which is 145 pounds.
Huh.
I forgot who the opponent, I think.
Nate.
No. So basically his original opponent backed out.
RDA. He was supposed to take Rafael Dos Anjos at lightweight.
That was at lightweight.
Correct. RDA pulled out and that's why he moved up to 170.
Oh, so there was somebody who pulled out at 145.
No.
Yeah,
not that
yeah,
fight.
Yeah, it was because he moved from 145 to 170 for that fight.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know this.
So he moved out. So there was no opponent at 145.
Uh-huh.
RDA took the fight. RDA pulled out
correct.
At 155. And there was no opponent. And Nate said, I'll do it.
Correct. On 10 days notice, this guy was sleeping on his couch.
Really smoking on his couch.
Smoking on his couch, eating junk food. And, you know, he just gets up and says, okay, let's fight.
Yeah.
And this was Conor McGregor during his rising star.
Yeah.
You know, where he had he beat Aldo by that time? Nahin. He had
no.
not beaten Aldo yet.
No, I think he had beaten.
Correct. He had beaten Aldo. He was already the featherweight champion.
Yeah.
He had yet to unify the belts with Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah.
But RDA was champ at that point.
Yeah.
And then Eddie Alvarez beat RDA and then Conor took on Eddie Alvarez.
That's right.
And I remember Conor versus Nate and I remember all the trash talk behind it. And then Nate comes in. And if you get a picture, Nate comes in and puts Conor McGregor to sleep.
You know, that was unbelievable because yet again, the underdog story and the champion story.
Oh, that's
story,
a beautiful picture, you know.
You know, and how he comes out and says, listen, I have nothing to lose. Exactly what you said, Chips. I have nothing to lose.
Correct.
I'm going to make good money here. And this shot him straight to stardom.
Correct. Nate Diaz was always a household name.
Yeah.
As you know, the Stockton kid. Along
yeah.
with the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
With, you know, Gilbert Menendez, Jake Shields.
Right.
Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz, Richard Perez.
Yeah.
Their entire troop, you know, which
yeah.
was always together.
Right.
They were the gangsters, you know, of Stockton.
Right.
They still are. They will always be. No matter what. And Nate coming out and doing this was a ridiculous moment.
Was unbelievable.
Everybody expected Conor McGregor to knock him out. Everybody expected Conor McGregor to destroy him.
Well, he knocked him down a few times.
No, that was in the second fight. This is the first fight.
Oh, in this one, he didn't knock him down?
No, he just bloodied him up.
Oh, yeah.
But when Nate hit him with the 1-2.
Oh, man.
And that's when Conor shot on him.
Conor, for the first time.
For the first time in his life, Conor went for a takedown.
He was like, shit, this is too much.
Shit, this is too much. It's the same thing which happened. I'll come back to that. It's funny. It's funny how the universe works. So this was another ridiculous upset. You know, when Nate Diaz shocked the world.
Absolutely.
With Conor McGregor.
And also the post-fight interview after this, where he said, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
And
there were t-shirts made of that.
It's still there. Ah, man.
There were graffitis all over US made of that. I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
It's so funny that you ended on that line because before we go for a commercial break, guys, and get to the main meat of our show, we have to talk about somebody else who said, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers, was Juliana Peña when she beat the champ, Amanda Nunes.
Oh, really?
She's shocked. And she picks up the phone and Joe Rogan goes to her and she's like, I'm not surprised, motherfucker. It's not the same way, but she
yeah.
said the same thing. And it was so cool the way she said it. And Juliana Peña was, you know, it was underdog champ.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
But a lot of people didn't give her a chance.
Absolutely, yes. But we will hear from the meat of the show post a short commercial break. We'll see you on the other side.
Welcome back to Fight Mania. We've been talking about one of the best topics that we've been talking about in a long time. Actually, Amesha, all our topics are very good.
Yeah.
But today, there's a lot of, I won't call it MMA math, but there's a little bit of like, you know, universe ka thoda sa haath hai idhar.
Yes.
Kismat se haath, you know.
Yes.
Where we talked about how, you know, Jorge Masvidal knocked out Ben Askren. Then Usman knocked out Jorge Masvidal. And then Leon Edwards knocked out Kumar Usman.
Absolutely.
But before we get to that main part, we talked about Juliana Pena taking on the champ Amanda Nunes.
Which was one of the biggest upsets ever. As I said, the upsets...
In the women's division. In the women's division.
The upsets are just getting bigger. It's getting more frequent. It's regular. So this, for me, to be honest, after the Matt Serra GSP upset, I think this is one of the biggest upsets ever, where Juliana Pena came and submitted Amanda Nunes in her prime.
You know, I was doing a live and somebody told me the other day that you keep talking about Amanda Nunes and Pena upset.
Yeah.
What about, the Ronda Rousey upset? I'm like, no, taking nothing from Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
She was a great champion, but Amanda Nunes is on another level.
Absolutely, yes. In fact, when Ronda Rousey was there in the bantamweight division, she had her match with Misha Tate.
Correct.
There was Liz Carmouche. There was Holly Holm.
Correct.
So
she lost to Holly Holm. But there were
equal matches, I'm saying. It was not Zameen Asman ka farak.
Yeah, she didn't take on Valentina Shevchenko.
Yeah.
She hadn't taken on Valentina Shevchenko. I'm not saying that, Amanda Nunes has beaten a murderer's row. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying if you look at Prime Amanda versus Prime Ronda, Prime Amanda.
Oh, absolutely, yes. In fact, what Amanda did to Juliana Pena in the rematch clearly showed what she's capable of.
Correct.
It's just that day, Pena was on a different...
Let's say the picture. Both the women, the way Pena moved forward, she looked fearless that day.
She looked a lot like Keith Jardine. That little herky-jerky style.
She has a herky-jerky. Correct.
And her jabs landing constantly. Those five jab combinations.
Amanda Nunes.
And they all were landing.
And they all landed and they tired out the champ.
It's typically one of those cases where you underestimate your opponent.
Correct.
And then you pay the price for it.
Correct. She underestimated her opponent, paid the price, and paid the ultimate price.
Yes.
Because it's not just losing the fight. It's losing the manner in which she lost.
Yes.
It's losing whatever is in your kitty. Because all these fighters fight for legacy also.
And also what happened in this particular fight, it was followed up immediately after Glover Teixeira and Jan Blachowicz. Where even Blachowicz... Amanda Nunes tapped out so quickly. It was not...
Was it Jan Blachowicz? Same night?
Yeah.
Or was it the same night? Okay.
It was not the same night, but it was just back-to-back.
Okay, correct. So back-to-back cards.
Happened so, back-to-back that champions tapping out in a matter of few seconds.
I think, it's good because why avoid, if you can't get out, why die? Why go out on your shield?
But it still shows that you have that give up attitude. When you go into deeper waters, you give up.
Maybe. That's a topic for another day that we can definitely look into.
When GSP made a comeback after 4 years and he got the rear naked into Bisping.
Yeah,
Bisping
went to sleep. Bisping, because he didn't give Bisping a chance to tap.
No, Bisping went to sleep. I believe Holly Holm also once went to sleep.
Yeah. Oh, Misha Tate. Holly fought so hard for that choke.
Yeah.
Holly fought. She tried to fight her off, tried to flip her, whatever.
Right.
But Misha had it, man. She got it deep.
That's the difference between fighters and athletes. When you're in trouble and say, okay, fine, I have a lengthy career ahead.
Correct.
I don't want damage. Yeah, those are athletes. But the guys who go to sleep are the ones that get the respect.
I agree. But Amanda, that night, she got beat and came back and avenged her loss.
Yeah.
But now we move on to the meat of what happened. I would label what happened now last weekend as one of the greatest upsets and will go down in the history books as one of the last minute turnarounds in a fight.
Absolutely, yes. In fact, we're talking about Leon Edwards KOing Usman.
Firstly, let me just give you a little backstory. Kumaru Usman is one of the greatest welterweights ever.
Absolutely.
He was on route to tying Anderson the Spider Silva. His victories, 16 straight victories in the UFC, in the UFC organization is unbelievable.
It's unheard of, in fact.
It's unheard of. Nobody's even gotten close. The closest is now is Alexander Volkanovski at 11.
Yeah.
Which is still far away.
And
still
16
not
16. And 11.
16 and 11 is still, it's distance. But Kumaru Usman was on 15th. He had won 15 and he was going to win his 16th. And what seemed like 1 minute away from glory, who had been tying Anderson Silva, it was the greatest shocker. Because for the first round, Leon Edwards shocked everybody by getting into mount with Usman.
Yes.
Not only did Leon Edwards take down Usman, he held him in mount and even threatened him with submissions.
Yes.
But then Kumaru, being the wily veteran that he is, came back and dominated the next three rounds.
Right.
And everybody had literally submitted into like, are,
it's over.
Now it's already been 3.5 minutes. Abhi to yehi hone wala hai.
Yeah.
Usman is going to ride out the decision.
Yeah, 3.5 rounds ho gaya.
Correct. 3.5 rounds he's won. Yeah. He's going to win a UD.
Yeah.
We all knew that was happening. Till Leon Edwards did what Leon Edwards was told to. Remember at the end of round 4, start of round 5, you saw his coach yelling at him. Fucking hell, he was saying, get it, mate. Go get it. Get up.
Rocky,
get
it. What's wrong with you?
You have it in you, aren't you? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And then he got up, just like the movie Rocky.
Oh, man.
And he lands one of the greatest, the most symmetrical head kicks. And I will say this is one of the greatest upsets because of one. Can you see the picture of it, please? Where we get to see a picture of that knockout.
Yeah.
I would say this is one of the most incredible moments because Usman has fought strikers. Usman has fought wrestlers. Usman has fought jiu-jitsu guys.
Yeah.
He's knocked out Gilbert Burns. You know he went through a war with Burns because he got cracked earlier on.
Yes.
Came back and won and knocked him out.
Yes.
He went and knocked out Jorge Masvidal. Which is a feat to do. He's beaten Colby Covington twice.
Yeah.
He won against Tyron Woodley for the belt.
Yeah.
This man has done it all.
Yes.
And for him to be so close. But that's what they say, you know, it's there will always come a champion, a contender.
Yeah.
That will come out differently. Because this is the first time, you know, you can blame it on the altitude.
Yeah.
The high altitude where, you know, Leon said in the grounds, like, I'm not feeling like myself. My body's not reacting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, high altitude is high altitude, man.
Right.
You play or you train at high altitude is a different story. Because I think Usman trains at Big Bear.
Colorado, yes.
He's Colorado. He trains in Colorado. He's at high altitude, so he's used to it.
Yes.
And you could see that the way he moved. It was an advantage.
Right.
But it's, you know, when somebody like Kamaru Usman gets knocked out that way.
Oh, man.
It is going to spark a chain reaction.
Absolutely. In fact, the only other defeat that I have seen at this stage is when Anderson Silva submitted Chael Sonnen.
No, in all respect to Anderson Silva. All you respect know, to Chael Sonnen.
Chael Sonnen was beating him.
Chael Sonnen was beating him.
For 4 rounds.
Very similar
and
circumstances.
Anderson Silva got it and submitted him. So very similar because, of course, he didn't knock him out.
Correct.
But here, last minute, and Leon Edwards KO'd Usman.
You know, but the thing is that Chael Sonnen, no disrespect to Chael Sonnen, he's a warrior, he's a beast. But Kamaru Usman is built from a different cloth.
Absolutely, yes.
He is too good. He is,
no
he
doubt
is a physical
that.
Specimen. He is unbeatable on paper.
But, you know, see, even the best champions in the world feel fine, you know. Last 1 minute, I'm winning it. Let's take it easy. And that split second advantage
Correct.
That Leon Edwards took shows he has a mindset of a champion.
Correct. And that, you know, it just goes to show that it doesn't matter how good you are. It's that lapse in concentration. It was not even a lapse. You see the way he set it up.
Yeah.
That right hand, he was pawing that right hand, fakes the left and comes over with the left high kick.
Correct.
It was so beautiful because you know he's trained it 250,000 times in the gym.
Yes.
It's muscle memory for Leon Edwards.
Yes.
And he did what he set out to do. He knocks out the champ. And now a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, Kamaru Usman's going to come back, vengeful vengeance. You know, you will never understand this till you've been knocked out yourself.
Yeah.
I remember me getting knocked out. I remember it was nowhere near any of the bright lights. It was in a gym.
Yeah.
And I got knocked out and I remember waking up saying, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of guys, you know, will say, you know, it's okay to get knocked out. It's okay to get knocked out. But it's not like he's getting knocked out. It's not just him getting knocked out. It's not like a contender getting knocked out.
Yeah.
It's a legacy getting knocked out. He is
Absolutely.
Now never going to reach 16-0 again.
Never.
Never ever. Never. He's never going to be. Now the break has happened. So you don't. It's not like you take a break and then you jump back into the fray.
Right.
You go back to the drawing board. You
exactly.
start at the beginning.
Exactly.
You've lost your belt. You've lost your legacy. He's not. I'm not saying it's Kumaru's lost his legacy, but he's lost that 16-0.
That win streak.
That win streak is over.
Yeah.
And you've lost your belt.
Correct.
And that can play on you like crazy.
And he's 35.
And he's also 35. He's now getting older.
Yeah.
Kamaru Usman would have maybe. And he also, you can see from his body language, he was not going to do this for 2 more years because
yes.
he already signed up for a movie. He's doing the new Black Panther.
Yes.
And we always say this, na, jo bhi movie jata hai na, yehi hota hai.
Unless and until he comes to Bollywood and faces Salman Khan.
Nahin, bhai se, bhai ke saath koi jeetega nahin. If it's Salman, you do whatever you do. You can do Tufan with Farhan.
Yeah.
You'll still come back and win. But if you do bhai, nobody beats bhai, bhai.
Absolutely.
If you land a punch on bhai, na, tera real life mein, na, tera box okay, game over. Bhai ke saath koi nahi jeet sakta. Sallu bhai ke saath masti nahi karne ga.
Sari hero panti nikal jayegi.
Sari hero panti nikal jayegi. Yes. Where are the plug-in? Where is the plug-in money, man? Where is the plug-in? Tiger, can you hear me now?
Save the tiger.
Can you save me now? We can't do save the tiger and all, na?
But we have to.
Save the tiger.
Split.
We can't, re.
Achha.
You know, Krishna Shroff will come and beat us, yeah. But coming back, people, you can't laugh loudly. Huh? Yeah. This is a closed set and all.
Yeah.
Thoda sa awaaj kam karo, madam. But it's coming back to what we were saying.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to Kumaru because as great a champion as he is, I feel it's only my one perspective. You feel free to, you know, to correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel that very few people have come back to that same level after a KO of this nature.
Well, I
it's not like he didn't get TKO'd. It was like the referee pulled him off.
He was out
Edwards
cold.
Walked away.
And his eyes were open.
Bright. His eyes were open.
Open like wide this open.
He was knocked shocking. Out. It looked like he'd been shot.
Yes. Yes. It was, I mean, you know, all luck to Kumaru Usman. I don't know if he'll come back. I want him to come back strong.
Just for the competition, you know?
But
dude, now he's going to see. There's going to be an automatic rematch. Dana said it.
Yeah.
Because if you're that dominant, you're going to get one.
Right.
And but this time it's going to be in the O2. It's going to be in England. It's going to be on Leon Edwards' turf.
My God.
And I want to see how Leon fights at sea level.
Yeah.
Because if he could do this while he was gassing, then I want to see what he can do at sea level.
It's going to be monstrous.
It's going to be monstrous. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our topic for today. But we are not leaving yet. We're not going to throw to commercial break. We're quickly going to discuss what's the next fight card, my friend, because we have to make our predictions. Somesh Kamra is trailing by
6 billion.
By 6 billion to one. He won once, I think, because Mystic Chips has a 99% success rate. So you know where to hedge your bets.
Absolutely.
It's in this corner. Because yeah, ye betting game mein koi hero panti nahi.
Well, UFC 279 that's coming up in September is the next pay-per-view.
Bolo kon lad raha hai?
It's Khamzat Chimaev taking on Nate Diaz.
You know what? Diaz does it.
Oh, really?
I have a feeling.
You know, it's actually quite surprising because Leon,
I said Leon's going to do it.
Leon said if Nate Diaz does this, then it's Nate versus me at the O2.
I want to see this. Because do you remember something? The same thing happened to Leon. Leon was in the fifth round
right.
And Nate cracked him.
Right.
And Leon survived somehow.
Oh my God.
But Nate has that ability to crack you, dude.
You know, the fights are in fact so good. So the next pay-per-view, of course, UFC 279 is Khamzat Chimaev taking on Nate Diaz. And it's a 5-round fight. So you know it favors Nate Diaz.
Anything that goes 5 rounds favors Nate Diaz.
Absolutely, yes. But the next card, if we speak about, is going to be in Paris.
Oh, it's for the interim belt.
Where Cyril Gane takes on...
It's Sihil.
Sihil Gane takes on Tai Tuivasa.
You say
No, Gane.
You said Gane.
It's Cyril Gane that
Why
takes
Why are you looking
out...
at us so weirdly? Yeah? We just dropped the F-bomb 300 times. One G-A-N-D bola to, you know, that means different things in different languages. So I may be speaking a different language.
Absolutely.
Sihil Gane.
However, the co-main event is another exciting one. Where Robert Whittaker takes on Marvin Vittori.
Bobby Knuckles is back.
Bobby Knuckles is back.
I love Bobby Knuckles. He's taking on the Italian Stallion. No, hang on. What did he call it? Something Stallion. Not Italian Stallion.
The Italian Dream.
The Italian Dream. Right. Italian Stallion is copyrighted by Rocky Marciano.
Oh.
No, I don't know if he's alive also to worry about it. But no, my point is that it's going to be a great fight. Bobby Knuckles taking on Marvin Vittori is going to be superb. Grappler versus puncher grappler.
Absolutely.
And we've got Tai Tuivasa, the shoey man.
The shoey man.
But if you don't know what a shoey is, it means he takes people's shoes and he pours beer in it
and drinks it
out of the shoe no matter what. But I really want to challenge him. I want to take him to Mohammad Ali Road in the rain in the Kichad. Wo shoey se beer peeke dikha.
You mean the mojadi?
Correct. From that you have to take this thing.
So then that'll be called the Muivasa.
The Muivasa. Let me see if he does the Muivasa na.
But who are your picks?
Oh,
let's
yeah,
go.
I forgot the joke. Shui Mui.
Well, let's see who's
going to
be.
If he ever comes to India, we'll call him Shui Mui. Yeah?
Absolutely. But who's doing the Shui Mui between Robert Whittaker and Marvin Vittori? Your pick.
Nah, I think Marvin Vittori wins the decision.
Oh my God. Okay, big one. I'm going to go with Robert Whittaker, one of my favorites. And for the main event, Cyril Gane versus Tai Tuivasa.
As much as my heart says Mr. Shui, but it's going to be, it's just the way Gane moves, you know.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to pin down. It's, you know, one thing if you're Francis Ngannou with that power and the wrestling, but it's just, he's so fast and he can move out of the way so quickly.
True.
I think he'll dance around and tire out Tai Tuivasa.
Very interesting. I'm going to go with Cyril Gane. So will
but what if
Mystic Chips.
The what if factor comes in here.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, that, you know, Tai Tuivasa.
Oh, ask me closer to the show.
Well, it's happening next week, so it's as close as it gets. We are right now.
We're right now on Thursday.
It's happening this Sunday.
Correct. Okay. We'll watch it this Sunday, and then we can decide whether we were right or wrong to say whether it was Taito Iwasa or Sahil Khan. But that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great, great podcast. We're here at Fight Mania. Thank you for tuning in. We love the love and support. Check out our merchandise on ivmpodcast.com. We have a lot more coming. Stay tuned for next Thursday, same time, same place on our favorite Fight Mania channel. This has been Mystic Chips and the Superhuman Kamra. Catch you next time. Sayonara and stay safe.